Chamber music today. If you think of chamber music as stuffy, think again. Chamber music now is pushing boundaries and combining genres that used to stay in separate lanes. Sure, if you like Beethoven, Bach, and Brahms, you can find them played beautifully at festivals all over. But you can also find interpretations of 70s rock, bluegrass, jazz, and pop. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Main Calling, we talk with three innovative artists who move seamlessly from the world of symphony orchestras to avant-garde galleries. And they perform for us live. Today's Main Calling will be streamed. Check it out on maincalling.org or on our Facebook page. Stay with us. But first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio Studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Do you think of chamber music as sedate, formal, and old-fashioned? If so, today's program might surprise you. We are here in the studio with some amazing musicians redefining chamber music. With me, two members of the trio, Time for Three. Nick Kendall plays violin and does vocals. He was trained in the Suzuki method, which his grandfather, John Kendall, brought to America in the 1960s. Charles Yang also plays violin and does vocals for Time for Three. He's a Juilliard graduate and was the recipient of the 2018 Leonard Bernstein Award. And with us, Melissa Reardon, a violinist and the artistic director for the Portland Chamber Music Festival. She is also founding member and interim executive director of ECHO. Am I pronouncing that right?
Echo,
the East Coast Chamber Orchestra. For those of you online, a note, we are streaming today's show and you can see it on Facebook Live. As always, we want to hear from you. What do you want to know about chamber music today? What would you like to ask these innovative artists? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. So much fun to have you all in here with
Hello.
Your instruments. It's so exciting to listen to you warm up and get ready for today's program. But I'm going to step back a little bit. We all have our own idea of what chamber music is. And without my trying to define it, you guys define it. Tell me how you define chamber music.
We're all looking at each other.
Go ahead, Melissa. You're the head of the festival.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that stands out to me about chamber music is the ability to communicate with your colleagues and have a kind of conversation. And it's typically, a smaller group of musicians. And by nature of that size, you can have a pretty intimate kind of conversation with the musicians and then also with the people who are listening to the music that are in the room with you.
Okay. And is there a conductor for chamber music?
No, there's no conductor.
Oh, so I thought I was the conductor.
We haven't told you yet.
Oh, your job it's just is my dream.
You just make Nick think he's in charge.
So. No, they just think, they make me think. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
And you know, chamber music obviously has its roots in classical music, and you all are all really finely trained classical musicians, accomplished musicians. You've all played with orchestras and traveled the world. How is this, something like a local festival where you're playing together in a small group, different for you?
Man, well, Melissa really has brought together just a universal group of musicians here and just outstanding musicians in this Portland area. So, like, you know, this festival, you're going to hear people from the West Coast, from the Midwest, from the East Coast, all great musicians who are touring during the year, and they're all here in Portland playing amazing chamber music for an intimate audience. It's wonderful. We went yesterday. I wasn't playing, but this is Charles speaking, by the way. I went and heard these two play this Martinu that you're about to hear yesterday, and you just see these people sitting in their chairs, and they're completely awestruck by what they're doing, and it's so cool. You're so close, and you get to see what they're doing and feel the musicians right there, and it's really a wonderful thing that she's put together.
Yeah, how is the experience different for you as a musician?
Oh, it's amazing. This is Nick. I mean, so for one thing, I've known Melissa since our first days at Music Conservatory in Philly, So it's like we figured that's like 20 years ago. Oh, I just gave away. Oh, man, I have no etiquette. Well, Melissa's a lot younger than me.
She was a child prodigy.
That's right. Yeah, she was.
Right. Yeah.
But Melissa has connections to so many amazing people who are also happen to be incredible artists. And we're all here because of Melissa. And the reason why I love coming here is because when you play music with just gracious, generous people and soulful people, it's not anything about other than just the opportunity to make music with those people and then share something very special. It's like a hang. And we are all really, I mean, we're all very lucky in our life. We're very busy and have, you know, cool careers and all this. And I get to travel with my brother here, Charles. We're in a band together, which is an amazing thing.
That's the worst
thing.
Part, right?
Yeah, I know, right. But to be able to come here and then be around this level of playing, this level of communication, it's like when we're all hanging out, if there's something that needs to be done, it's not, none of these artists are like, oh, I need an assistant. No, they'll go do it. They'll go pick up a chair, move a stand. But these are all like rock star musicians. And that, I think, is the spirit of what I've felt and what is really unique, that I can be myself with friends. And it's also an opportunity to kind of like share stories and catch up, you know, families and stuff like that. So it's awesome.
All right, Melissa. Well, you're the brand new director of the Portland Chamber Music Festival, taking over from founder Jenny Elowich. Tell us, big shoes to fill.
Yes.
Tell us about the new direction for the festival. How are you planning to continue to bring chamber music to newer audiences?
That's a great question. I mean, I feel incredibly lucky to have taken on such an incredible organization from Jenny, and she really built something incredible here in Portland. This is our 26th season. And I feel like, you know, part of my vision is to continue in the path that Jenny created and expand upon it. And one of the ways that we've been doing that has been partnering with other organizations in the city. We had an event earlier this year where we worked with Suzuki students of the Portland community. Actually, Nick was there, and we worked with those students. This week, we're working with the students at MAM, Maine Academy of Modern Music. Nick, Charles, and Peter have been working with those students. And just trying to expand the way that we interact with different communities in Portland. And I think that's just so important. One of the things that's tricky about chamber music is the nature of the fact that it's an intimate kind of music. We can't, you know, it's not an ideal setting to be in a huge space. So I feel like the more we can get out into the community and interact in that way, we'll be able to meet more people and have that connection.
Okay, so I know there are folks in the audience saying, Jennifer, stop talking. I hear we're going to have music. So you all tell me what you are going to play. This is going to be Nick and Melissa for the first piece. What is this?
This is the first movement of a piece called Three Madrigals for Violin and Viola. Martin New wrote the piece after he was inspired by hearing a brother-sister duo playing a Mozart duet for violin and viola. And this first movement is full of lots of that conversational type writing. It's very virtuosic. There's a sense of humor in there, too. It's a lot of fun.
All right. So who we're about to hear, this is Nick Kendall and Melissa Reardon. Melissa is artistic director for the Portland Chamber Music Festival. Nick, a member, among other things, of Time for Three. The other. To be in this studio with you. Wow, that was really, really amazing. Thank you so much. That was Melissa Reardon and Nick Kendall. Nick, you and Charles are in Time for Three together. It's been called a cross-genre group. What does that mean, Charles?
Wait, I wasn't playing in that, and I was just watching up close, and that was awesome. I saw that yesterday, but it's just so cool
It is.
Their movement, and for everyone watching, that was...
everybody can see.
Yeah.
I
was wondering, Nick, during that, a couple times you had a grin and you glanced over at Melissa. What was going on there?
Just inside, secrets.
Inside joke. I mean, come on. We've known each other for so long. And it's... So another part of this is, like, our rehearsal process. And Melissa and I are... I mean, we share so many different things, but we also come from very different places musically, which is great. And the amount of back and forth and trying to figure out what we want to do with this and arguments about what we want to do, it's beautiful. And it's for me, because I'm like messing up some stuff every once in a while, and she's really annoyed at some of the things I do. It's just fun.
She didn't look annoyed.
No, I'm kidding. No, but that's kind of like what happens when that's why it's fun to do this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Well, I understand that you guys are going to give us a little bit of insight into how you think, Charles and Nick, that you have agreed to kind of pick up your instruments and talk about how you might put a piece together.
Oh, but, yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about Time for Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that. But, you know, so introducing Time for Three like you did, and thank you for doing that. So Charles and I...
Well, I tried to.
I know, and then Charles just gave us compliments. Jeez, you know. What are you doing? So the band has been around for a while, and the common thread is that we've all studied through our beloved art form, classical music, right? So the music of Beethoven, Brahms, Mahler, having these chamber music experiences in school, but also orchestral and solo repertoire. But Charles and I and our other brother who's not here, Renan Meyer, we find ourselves actually reflecting what is very standard now, is that while we're all growing up, while studying this craft, we were all listening to different styles of music. And not only listening to, but also wanting to play. Like, you know, in high school, a way to relate to your fellow friend or friends, peer group, is to play music that everybody's kind of listening to on the radio. And these days, you have so many amazing artists who are doing that. And it's in classical music, it used to be like when I was studying, there's this perception that you have to play, you're told what to play. But now I think creativity is so king right now that artists are actually choosing to play the music that they want to play, which can be anything from playing Martinu or our own original that like Time for Three does, or a transcription of something or a mashup of two opposing things like Mahler and Guns N' Roses. And for us, I don't know if you want to add anything to that, but that's at the basis of what Time for Three is. And it's a very unique group. We're two violins and a double bass, and there's vocals involved. Charles has an extraordinarily beautiful voice.
Stop.
And it's true. And Renan and I sing backup vocals, but then we also play concertos with orchestra. So actually, Time for Three was here playing with your own beautiful orchestra here in town a couple years back with a piece that was written for us by Chris Brubeck, who is the son of Dave Brubeck, which we've now played all over the world. So it's kind of a very interesting, awesome career that we have. And
we're lucky. I mean, we get to, we get to be involved in what we call chamber music sometimes when we play just the two of us, plus Renan, of course, the three of us. And we're just kind of creating music together. Maybe sometimes it's improv, but it's kind of an intimate kind of setting. And we also get to play concertos, and we get to play. We did a tour where we did arenas with Chaka Khan. So it's just, oh my gosh,
that must have been a heck of an experience. Yeah,
it was great. But we're very lucky with that, and we get inspired, kind of like how Martinu. I didn't know that wrote that
right.
Because he heard a Mozart duet. Yeah. It's so different, but he was inspired by that to write something like this, which is completely different. And we do the same. We were inspired by all different kinds of art forms. So
we have to go to a break. So somewhere in the next block, I want you guys to show us a little bit how you improv.
Done.
Cool.
So audience, stay with us. More
cool
to come. We're talking about chamber music, but not the chamber music that you thought you were going to hear today. We are going to take a quick break. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Penobscot Financial Advisors, self-proclaimed geeks committed to the financial fitness of Mainers. Learn more at PenobscotAdvisors.com. Andrucki and King, featuring Judy Andrucki, providing private mediation services in matters of family law, AndruckiLaw.com. And New England Forestry Foundation, celebrating 75 years of conserving forests for future generations. Learn more at NewEnglandForestry.org.
A tale of passion, jealousy, revenge, and redemption. Bellini's Norma features some of the most astonishing vocal acrobatics in opera. Join me, Lisa Flynn, and my co-host, Roger Pines, as Lyric Opera of Chicago presents this bel canto masterwork, featuring Sondra Radvanovsky in the title role. Join us for Bellini's Norma from Lyric Opera of Chicago.
That's tomorrow afternoon at 1 on Maine Public Classical. Thank you for helping to keep public radio strong here in Maine. Our Let's Grow Together summer membership drive successfully wrapped up yesterday morning. Maine Public Radio and Maine Public Classical are strong and well-positioned to do what they do each and every day into the months ahead, providing you with the best possible programming worthy of your support. Public radio wouldn't be public radio without your support, so thanks. Together, we raised over $250,000 and welcomed in 245 new members. Again, thanks for doing your part. It makes a difference.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. That was Time for Three and just a little tiny bit of their track Joy, which is on all streaming services right now. Today we're talking about and hearing chamber music, past, present, and future. My guests are Melissa Reardon, a violist, an artistic director for the Portland Chamber Music Festival, also a founding member and interim executive director of ECHO, the East Coast Chamber Orchestra. Also with us are two amazing musicians and members of the trio Time for Three, Charles Yang and Nick Kendall. If you would like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And don't forget, we are live streaming today's show, and it is available via Facebook Live. So I promised before the break that I'm going to have you guys show us how you improv, and I'm just going to say, take it away. Take us into a rehearsal room. Take us into your living room or your basement or whatever it is you get together.
Well, why don't we just demonstrate?
You want to do it?
Let's just do it. I think sometimes improvising starts sometimes out of the blue. You know, you kind of do a little call and response, and then harmony comes in. And well, yeah, let's do something. Let's just figure something out.
Wait a minute. That was really just improv.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Do you believe that, Melissa?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a nice key.
It's beautiful. We,
our sheet music's on the floor.
No, it's a nice droney vibey key
And you know, it's a what's great is we know, you know, Nick and I know each other so well now because we're traveling every day of the year together. And we really know each other's playing, and it's great to just kind of adapt and songwrite that way because you know what works for the other person. And that's kind of how Joy was created. And, you know, there was kind of a plucking around, and we found a chord progression, and now it's become a produced out thing. So that's how we write.
And we'll be posting Joy on our Maine Calling Facebook page and on our web page for those of you who would love to hear the whole piece. Joining us now on the line, Wilhelmina Smith, a cellist and artistic director of the Salt Bay Chamber Fest. Mina, welcome back to Maine Calling.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Tell us about the Salt Bay Chamber Fest and some of your upcoming events.
Oh, well, we are actually celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, which is pretty exciting. And a lot of what your guests were saying, and by the way, congratulations, you guys sound amazing.
It's aww.
A pleasure to hear you.
Big hugs.
Melissa.
Hi, Mina.
Hi. We're all colleagues and friends, and it's just a thrill to have you in Maine. So I think, you know, one of, for my festival, actually, as you're talking about the sort of past and future of music, is that part of our mission, even from 25 years ago, has always been to really rejuvenate and revitalize the art form. And, you know, how we've done that has evolved and changed through the years, but it really has always included innovators and creators and composers and, you know, finding new ways to make relevant to this music. And, you know, I'm also, you know, deeply moved and love the classics. That's a huge part of my upbringing as well. I think we all went to Curtis, and I will always have that as a core, but I also am deeply moved by so much of what the art form is today. And a lot of what you were saying, in terms of like the versatility of artists, is very relevant for especially this year. I'm featuring three artists in particular who are real innovators in their field. We had Derek Bermel come nice. And play. Yeah, right? He played the clarinet, but he's also a composer, a classic mm-hmm. composer. But unbeknownst to a lot of you guys, he also is a rapper.
Oh, yeah. No, we, so, I knew. Yeah, he... know that. I'm proud to know that. Yes.
So he came and, you know, we had like a whole audience full of, you know, a very wide range of age audience just grooving.
Well, let's talk about
that. It was so much fun.
Mina and Melissa, talk about balancing a festival, because I'm sure you have audience members that have an expectation that you want to meet and they want to hear. I hear it's the three B's and Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms, but also, you know, you have innovative artists who and part of the audience who wants to hear innovation. How do you balance that when you put a festival together?
Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, for me, we've created a the unexpected festival. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, probably that comes from cultivating those expectations and, you know, artists for so long that people know when they come that they aren't necessarily going to hear the three B's, that they're going to hear music that's great and that has connection and relevance in their lives and our lives, and that it's going to be wide-ranging.
Melissa?
I would sort of echo what Mina said. I think that we, you know, we've tried to make sure that there is that sense of, you know, there may be something on the program that's unexpected. And I think to add to that, I think one of the things we strive to do is also make sure that when we're presenting a work that's different from the three B's, let's say that we are communicating about it with the audience, we often ask our artists to talk about the pieces and just, you know, if it's totally unfamiliar territory, maybe give them a little bit of a roadmap for stuff to pick out and listen for. And I think that always helps. And I just try to encourage my audience to be open-minded for an adventure. You might think that you won't like it, but you're going to hear something totally different, and you might feel things that you didn't never expected. And I think that's something that can be really thrilling.
Well, Wilhelmina Smith, Artistic Director of Salt Bay Chamber Fest, thanks so much for calling in. We've put a link to the Salt Bay Chamber Fest on our website and Facebook page. We've also will be putting links to the performances for the Portland Chamber Music Festival on our website and Facebook page. But Wilhelmina, since we're talking about that, why don't you tell us what's coming up? People can see Charles tonight and Nick tomorrow night, right?
That's right.
Yeah, Charles, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, that you talk about me. tonight I collaborate with an amazing musician by the name of Peter Dugan, who's also an artist that's part of Portland Chamber Music Festival. And we're playing at the Space Gallery tonight at 7:30. And it's just a whole different kinds of program. We're mixing a whole bunch of different genres tonight. So what we'd like to do is take a piece you might be familiar with in pop culture and kind of either make it classical mixed in with rock and roll and blues. And it'll be a fun time.
It's an amazing show.
Okay, Nick, lean forward to the mic and tell us about tomorrow night.
It's an amazing show tonight at Space. And tomorrow night, it's going to be actually Peter Dugan and his amazing wife, Kara Dugan, who's one of my favorite voices in the world right now. She's just, she makes you, your heart weep.
She'll melt you. Yeah,
melt you. Pieces by Schumann and Schubert, also joined by a longtime friend of mine, Todd Palmer on clarinet, who's incredible. He's from New York City, but travels all around the world. And then Melissa and myself and everybody else are going to end the show with Tchaikovsky's famous Souvenir de Florence, which is an amazing work for six musicians. And it's basically Tchaikovsky when he was hanging out in Florence for a bit and kind of all of his memories from there. And you hear bits and pieces of that flourish and also just Tchaikovsky's amazing virtuosic writing for strings. He really understood how to blend. He understood blend in general, but to connect blend with emotion and then especially with strings, it's just he's the master. He's the man. So we're gonna end the program with that. Do you have anything else to add to tomorrow night?
Those pieces are incredible. I should say that the Schumann is actually Clara Schumann, not Robert Schumann. Mm-hmm. Three songs.
Mm-hmm. That's
and yeah. That should be incredibly beautiful. And those songs are a little bit unusual. I don't think Clara Schumann's music is performed often enough. So that should be a special treat. And then just one other coupling on the program. There's a Mahler and Schnicka pairing piano quartet. So the Mahler wrote a piano quartet that's incomplete, and then Schnicka wrote a movement to sort of complete the incomplete movement, and that's a really cool combination, hearing the Mahler and the Schnicka right next to each other. So that'll be a fun
mashup.
Yeah,
kind of.
So we're going to go to Barbara, who's calling from Blue Hill. Hi, Barbara. Go ahead.
No way.
Hello. Yes, Nick and Melissa, wonderful playing, wonderful imaginative playing of the Martinu duo. And it was written for my mother and my uncle, Joseph and
Marianne.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? I just got goosebumps.
I'm so glad I heard it. I'm at Kaiser Hall in Blue Hill. I'm a cellist.
Oh, my gosh.
On the faculty at another wonderful chamber music hall.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. I went to Kaiser Hall.
Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give you the names of the inspired musicians who inspired Mr. Martinu for the madrigals, and you played it just beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
I heard it from my childhood.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
Gosh.
That means so much. That's incredible to speak to you.
Well, here I am in Maine, like you are, and Maine is full of wonderful music.
It sure is. And you know, Blue Hill, I've been to Blue Hill a few times. And,
you have.
But I also read, as a kid, I read Blueberries for Sal.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Of course.
Of course.
That's like the best book ever.
There was wonderful books, yes.
Yeah, and I was always want to try my hand at getting my fingers blue with all the blueberries, and to my mom's chagrin.
It's blueberry season. You can do it while you're here in
Maine,
Nick.
Headed up there now.
Perfect time.
Barbara, thank you so much
for calling in.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, the number 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. You can tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. We're going to go out of this segment of the program with more from Joy, the track Joy.
In his bones, but he keeps a smile on his face. Oh, born with a heart that's overgrown, a song that beats its own pace. Misunderstood, fought to be good, hands in his pockets, his head in his hood, hiding and shy, a mess of a guy, fighting and trying and dying inside. He cries, Joe. Joy,
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Ocean View at Falmouth, an active retirement living campus proudly supporting Saturday Afternoon Opera, oceanviewrc.com, and Martin's Point Healthcare, dedicated to providing the highest quality care and coverage to people of Maine, offering Generations Advantage Medicare plans. Learn how you can enroll at generationsadvantage.com.
When you get released from prison on parole, it's a chance to start fresh, to turn to a new chapter.
Everything's sinking in without actually getting out. I wonder how my mom's doing right now. Probably the same as me, nervous, excited.
But when all you get is bus fare, and there's no support system, no job, and you're far from anywhere, what do you do? On Next from the New England News Collaborative, Life on Parole. Please join us.
That's today at 2 here on Maine Public Radio. The next stop on the Maine Public News Tell Me More tour is Bar Harbor, as Maine Public News travels the state to hear directly from you, learn what you feel are the most important issues in your community, and how Maine Public News can best serve you and keep you informed. The event takes place Thursday evening at 5:30 at the Abbey Museum. Deputy News Director Susan Sharon will be there, along with Weekend Edition host Jennifer Mitchell. For more information about all the Tell Me More tour visits, including Thursday's Bar Harbor event, please visit mainpublic.org and click on Events or the banner ad.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the programming, introducing chamber music to a new generation of listeners. My guests, two members of the trio Time for Three, Nicholas Nick Kendall plays violin and does vocals, and Charles Yang also plays violin and sings. Also with us, Melissa Reardon. She's a violist and the artistic director for the Portland Chamber Music Festival. We are streaming today's program on Facebook and on maincalling.org. You can watch these musicians in action by going online, and you can join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. So we've promised some more music. Coming into that last break, we heard a little bit more of your new track, Joy, Time for Three's new track. Why don't you tell me about Joy, but then also tell us what you might play for us right now.
Joy was kind of one of those songs where, you know, we were just in a room, just screwing around with different chords and, you know, and just trying to figure out, just screwing around. And then we started kind of singing with no words, just, oh, yeah. You know, it's just nothing. And we kind of came up with this idea of maybe writing a song about our hero, Beethoven. And, you know, growing up playing Beethoven's music, we found the riff where from his Ode to Joy.
That was joyous.
Yeah. And we took that and we kind of did some kind of riff off of that, and that's what became Joy.
And it's also for us to think about the man himself as we know it through history. The world, I mean, he gifted the world with so much genius music that has brought people together after wartime. But also on a personal level, sometimes people listen to his music to heal. But as a person, we know him to have been a really troubled person. He struggled with hearing. He couldn't see well. He struggled with love. He didn't know how to relate to society. He had his, you know, we created the song. We wrote the lyrics to be reflective of somebody who deals with these problems, but ultimately is a genius and gives the gift of joy to the world. And we feel like there are people out there who are probably like this. And we just respect Beethoven and are grateful for Beethoven that way. So this is our ode. This is our ode to joy. Get it?
Nice.
Get
very
it?
Good.
Get it?
Yeah.
This is why you have me in the band, dude.
And the third member of your group isn't here, so I understand you can't really
perform it.
But you can perform something else for us, right?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, this is something we like to do, is take a song that people might know and just make it our own. So so here's a song. I'm not going to introduce it.
No.
Yeah. This is what you might hear tonight.
Oh.
And we might have a guest artist come
what?
On. Who knows?
What?
Who knows?
Thank you.
My goodness, that might be the most favorite thing I ever heard.
Most favorite thing.
Oh wow, that was amazing. How do you guys choose? I hear you also do Guns N' Roses, and
we do. Yeah,
Ariana Grande, really?
Well, we just love her. We just love her.
I mean, she doesn't realize it, but
she's my future wife.
Yeah, future wife.
But yeah, it's just something like, you know, we love all different kinds of music and. Kind of finding the polar opposites of what you would normally hear on a violin or a bass, and kind of making that sound good. And we like that limitation. You know?
Do you have anything? Have you challenged yourself with something you just haven't been able to figure out yet?
Yeah, like our own songs sometimes. Those are the hardest because we care more about those, I think.
That's true.
But no, there's always songs that that are out there that. When we really put our minds to it, we can come up with something, and it's always fun.
We do that. So you're referencing something we do in our shows sometimes. It's pairing "Sweet Child of Mine" by Guns N' Roses with Mahler's taking some of the songs that he wrote called the Kindertotelieden. I'm probably destroying the pronunciation of that. I apologize. But Mahler unfortunately lost a child to the plague, and he was scarred by that, obviously, but he put that in the Kindertotelieden. Well, actually, it's a set of poems that talk about death. And we found a connection with Sweet Child of Mine because it's childhood memories. That's what the song is about. And harmonically, we found connections as well. We have this arrangement that we do on our own, but it also quotes for Jaka, which comes from which one of Mahler's symphonies? I forget.
Mahler 1, right?
Mahler 1, but in the minor theme.
Is that Mahler 1?
I think so. Yeah. So we quote that in there, and it's just fun to do that. We did go to the extreme. For us, it was kind of like trying to find something on the extreme end. So we took, one time we took like a Toxic by Britney Spears and paired it with the Four Seasons.
Yes.
Summer.
Yes.
And we no longer do that anymore.
I was going to say, how awesome.
But that was fun to do for a minute.
Man. But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay, an email from Ella. I imagine a ton of work goes into your performances. How do you keep yourself disciplined to practice?
Nice comment.
Wow.
Melissa?
Discipline.
Melissa has to wrangle all of us. You know?
She's it's like our big sister.
Yeah, she is.
I don't know. I think it's, you know, for musicians, we're athletes of the smaller muscles. And I think we, just like athletes train for events that they do, I think we also feel that we need to do that to stay in shape and to play the music that we want to play. And if we don't stay in shape, then it really doesn't feel good to play the music that we want to play. So I think there's just an internal desire in musicians and performers to have the ability to convey what the music wants. And that sort of makes us work the way we need to work.
All right, an email from Cindy. What popular music do you like the most? We've already heard Ariana Grande. Who else?
Well, I was just recently introduced to Lizzo.
Oh, yeah.
And amazing. we were watching some of her stuff.
She's a classical flute player.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
conservatory trained.
Yeah.
Actually, I listened to Terry Gross's interview with Lizzo, which was awesome because Lizzo was literally talking about, I mean, the conversation was so wide and so wonderful, kind of like what we're doing here. It's so great to have this forum. Thank you for having us on. But Lizzo was talking about, you know, her experience playing like a Mahler symphony in conservatory orchestra, or speaking about the flute concertos written for the instrument. Yet she's like this huge pop icon and talking about the reason. So it's like, it was amazing to kind of, I mean, that's also why music in school systems works. Because, I mean, it's giving, there's so many creative people out there. And if you just give the creative tools to young people, they're going to do something quite original and quite amazing.
Music, so I mean, it's all a melting pot right now. I mean, you get people like Lizzo that are classically trained and is now a big pop icon. But even the music itself, funk is back. Everything's merging in classical music. You listen to new composers. They're putting in all elements.
Yeah.
Derek Bermel, who was in that... The other festival, I mean, he writes, he's influenced by so many different things, and composers today are just, there's no longer real big genre lines, you know? You don't expect to, you might expect to go to a chamber music concert and just hear the three Bs, but no, the stuff coming out now is such a melting pot of different kinds of things. It's not just classical music.
Yeah. Well, thank you all. This was such a treat. I can't believe we're out of time. The voice you just heard, Charles Yang. Also hear Nick Kendall, and they're both part of the trio Time for Three. We will post some videos on our Facebook page and webpage, but really encourage everybody out there to look up Time for Three. And Melissa Reardon, violist and artistic director for the Portland Chamber Music Festival. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Ella Boyd answered your calls. We had help from Nick Godfrey and John Keimel. Speaking of Mahler and Guns N' Roses, that's what we're going to hear as we go out. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.